Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Literally, there was a fist bump, a flame, and an American flag after
that
the
to
strike.
Me, you know me. You know me with Elon's hat in the Oval Office, with the Ukrainian president not wearing a suit. Like, let's get professional, guys. Why are we talking about bombing the Houthis on Signal with emojis? Get in a skiff. And I know,
on the other hand, was telling Rachel that I really wish they had used a GIF.
Like, they had used some kind of, like, from The Office or
something. America!
With, like, a flag in the rain.
Welcome to Rivera and Reeves, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin, because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense.
Hey friends, and welcome to another episode of Rivera and Reeves. I'm Miss Sadie, and I'm here with my friend Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
If this is your first time here, welcome. You have discovered your new favorite podcast. We are so glad that you're here. I recommend that you hit that follow button so you don't miss the next episode. Every week, a new episode, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you can give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review, that would be awesome. And you might as well leave it now, but you can leave it later. But just remember, don't leave without leaving it. Yes. Okay. Did I say that correctly? Okay.
I believe so.
Okay. So let's just get into this, because we were already having a pregame discussion. A lot of stuff going on. We're going to be talking about the perils of using technology inaccurately.
When you're a high-level White House official orchestrating.
Okay. Okay. Rachel's very upset. I mean, we're both upset, but Rachel's particularly much more upset.
I'm not upset. Because it's not like my family that used back channels on Signal and shared our, like, family secrets.
The whole thing is just, this is very poor practice. Okay. So to give you guys an update on what happened, let's give you the hook. Not only is this poor practice in national security secrets, this is also, of all of the reporters for this to happen with, Jeff Goldberg from The Atlantic is literally the worst. So yesterday, news broke at around 11:30 or something like that.
Was it really that early?
It was. Like, I'm looking at the article, and the article, okay, maybe not. It says the article published at 12:06 p.m. Okay. I felt like I started seeing it around a little bit before that. But let's say it was lunchtime. And I remember I saw it because I typically take a lunch break and do some scrolling. I saw the article and immediately I was like, well, this sounds weird. And my alarm bells were already up, because yesterday, or actually, let's say Sunday night, there was an audio going around that I initially saw on TikTok that had spread over to X of allegedly J.D. Vance talking trash, essentially, about Elon Musk. And just the way he was speaking about Elon, and it just seemed suspect to me, and it was like catching on like wildfire, and it was quickly debunked as AI. So that was one of the first things that was like in my mind that morning, because I shared it first thing in the morning. Well, then this article from The Atlantic publishes, and the title of the article is "The Trump Administration Accidentally Texted Me Its War Plans." Now, to give you guys some context of who Jeffrey Goldberg is, he is the editor-in-chief at The Atlantic. He is an individual that has promoted multiple stories that are anti-Trump that have been literally fake news. And I'm not like using that as a defense. So, for example, he was a huge proponent of pushing the Russia collusion narrative. He was I believe he was the original source of the alleged story of suckers and losers of Trump allegedly calling veterans suckers and losers, which...
Well, he ran with that. He never kind of came back and said, yeah, that's not really what happened.
Well, and that's the thing. He has a history not only of just absolutely hating Trump, but then doubling down on stories even after they become debunked or questionable. Like, he just doubles down on them. So apparently what happened,
which makes the story so weird. So listen, if someone puts on a tinfoil hat, like I said, I'm all in my head right now. If they put on their conspiracy overalls, this is a story you could definitely do that with, for sure. Because things are, it's just weird. Like, it's, why would you, anyway, just
let's get through the sequence of events and then we can have our therapy session.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel's having a hard time this morning.
Because it doesn't make sense.
Okay. So the article publishes, right? Immediately I'm like, okay, this is weird. I immediately read it. I unfortunately have an Atlantic subscription because I subscribe to things that I hate because I have to be informed. Rachel rode my coattails and I gave her a gift link.
She sends it to me. I read the first two paragraphs and I'm getting twitchy. My husband's like, what are you reading? I'm like, oh, you just wait because you're going to hear about it for the next week. But I'm reading it. All of a sudden, it's, you must have a subscription. I'm like, no, I need to read this immediately. So Sadie's so nice. She's like, here's a gift link, sweetie. Now get your own subscription.
So the story is that at some point before, now to give you context, the centerpiece of this article is the Houthi attack that happened in Yemen.
Has it been like a week?
Yeah, something like that. It's been about a week and a half. And this is at the same time that the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas essentially ended because Hamas wasn't coughing up any more hostages. Like, they were slow rolling the hostages. So this is all going on at the same time. So things are lighting up, literally, in the Middle East. And Jeffrey Goldberg gets a request, a connect request via Signal. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Signal, it is my personal favorite form of communication. I think Rachel finally got on Signal because I was like, you have to be on Signal.
Because we were like emailing. No, we were always on Signal. The other day, though, I realized, wait, I don't have Mercedes' phone number. I'm like, this is very weird. We're business partners and I can't text her. So then I write her on Signal and say, I think we should have each other's phone numbers, don't you? And she's like, I mean, I guess. So here you go. And then I text her in my usual standard, like, hi, bestie, with like exclamation points and a GIF. And then she never even replies. So,
Because I never check.
Hi, this is Rachel. Because you said I'm never going to check it. So, yeah, we use Signal.
Yes. So Signal is a nonprofit messaging platform that is encrypted end to end. And it also has the capabilities of messages expiring. So you can set it for 24 hours, a week, a month, where the messages disappear. Kind of like Snapchat or how it used to do. I don't know if anybody that listens to this podcast has ever been on Snapchat, but that's the comparison I'm making. So that is what Signal is. Now, this is also a platform that is commonly used. I've heard this addressed multiple times by journalists in DC, by even lobbyists. It's kind of like an accepted for communications, specifically because of the end-to-end encryption.
Because didn't people used to use, I mean, I've used WhatsApp with several people who kind of run in those crowds. But I feel like Signal's really
And I think one of the things with WhatsApp is once it got bought up by Facebook, people like started switching over to Signal. Mm-hmm. So now Mike Waltz, who is the national security advisor, initially he requests to connect with JG, which is Jeffrey Goldberg.
Yeah, JG. Yeah.
Now, the reason I say JG is like because that is how he appears in Signal. So if you don't have your picture or whatever, you just end up with your initials as like the default. So he connects with him. Goldberg says, I didn't really think anything about it. He's a national security advisor. I'm the head of the Atlantic. I'm thinking maybe he wants to talk about something or whatever.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. That's where my sticking point is.
Well, I definitely think it's weird because like why
we can come
in the world?
Back and talk to why is Mike
you have to understand
Jeffrey Goldberg.
That's the thing, because the other aspect of Signal is that you can only connect with people like I think one or two ways. One of them includes you have to have their phone number. And that's
so why
the primary
would he have
way.
Jeffrey Goldberg's phone number.
I don't know. So,
and so then all these people are saying, oh, well, maybe it was by mistake. I'm like, by mistake, that out of all of the millions of people in America, that if he punched in a number, it just happens to be the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic? No, obviously not. So Mike Waltz and Jeffrey Goldberg are buds? Or like, is someone in
or
Mike Waltz's
someone in his circle
office, yeah, needs to get fired, obviously, and is friends with Jeffrey Goldberg? Or
and
was
that is what I'm wondering, because there has been some recent leaks that have been coming out from the administration to the press, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, about like discussions that are being had.
Well, they even leaked to a day before that the Department of Education executive order was coming. And I know that's not sensitive material.
Yeah, but the point
but
is, but
like,
it's a hot topic issue. And it's yeah, something and that's like the news is going to want to know about.
Yeah.
So that's the other question, because as far as I know, like you have to have somebody's phone number in order to add them to a Signal chat. Now, you can fact check me on that. I would have to double check that. But I'm pretty sure that every time I've added someone, they're like, you have to search them by their phone number.
Right.
Now, so the question is, was it Waltz himself that started the thread and asked to be, I don't know, like friended Jeffrey Goldberg or whatever? Or was it somebody within his circle? And now the question is, was it someone within his circle that did
is
it
a mole and wants to sabotage?
Yeah, exactly.
Or so was like, this intentional from the very beginning?
There's a lot of questions there that need
lots
to be
of theories
asked. Yes. Who eventually, what ended up, I think it was like a week or a few days later. I'm not exactly sure. Let me see. So initially, so March 11th, he gets the request from Michael Waltz. And then 2 days later, on March 13th, he is added to Houthi PC small group chat. So that's the title of the chat. Now, within that chat was Waltz, because he's the one who started it, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, the Vice President J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, Stephen Miller, who is an advisor at the White House.
Now, they didn't say for sure it was Stephen Miller.
But it was an SM.
It was SM was the initials, because they all go by initials in this, like
yeah.
Marco Rubio's M-A-R. I think J.D. Vance was just J.D.
Yeah. Tulsi no, it was Gabbard J.B., was, I think, because it was J.
Okay.
Vance.
Tulsi Gabbard was listed as T.G. And then I'm not exactly sure what John Ratcliffe and Steve Witkoff and Susie Wiles were, but I know someone was S.M. And they're
yeah.
assuming it's Stephen Miller.
It's Stephen Miller. Well, and the big thing is that you have to – Susie Wiles is the chief of staff. So you have at least two people who are in the White House with Trump. You have Stephen Miller and Susie Wiles. Then John Ratcliffe is CIA, and then Steve Witkoff, he is the envoy, the Middle East envoy. So he's like another security advisor guy. And then Jeffrey Goldberg. Now, Jeffrey Goldberg should not be in the chat. Okay.
Obviously.
There is speculation. This is the other speculation that Jeffrey Goldberg, whose initials are JG, was supposed to be Jameson Greer. Who mm-hmm. is, hold on, let me find, because he's like some trade.
He's the trade representative for the United States.
Correct. And now the reason that it would have been appropriate for him to be in the chat is because one of the main issues and the reason for this attack was because of the shipping lines in the area being interrupted by the Houthis. So it would make sense that someone that had to do with trade or oversaw yeah. trade would be included in the chat. So that's who's in the chat. Now, Jeffrey Goldberg, I will say, who I do not like.
Caveat.
Let me preface that I do not like this dude, okay? I think he's a hack, okay? Straight up. But I will give credit where credit is due. And I think this, which was another reason, because my husband, I was telling my husband about the article, because I'm like talking audibly in my office. Oh my gosh. What?
Yes,
reaction?
I do know.
Okay.
That is what I was doing while I was making dinner last night with all the people in my house listening to me. And then the sad part is they kept going, well, what's happening? What's happening?
Like, I have to read this.
Quiet. I have to read it. They're like, but mom, what? And I'm like, oh, this is awful. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And they're like, what is it, mom? I'm like, I can't talk right now.
So my husband's hovering, right? And he's, what's going? So I kind of give him a quick synopsis. And he's like, I don't believe that. And he walked out.
So
he's like,
so many people in my chats. They're like, why are you even reporting on this? This is
like, this
fake
is so,
news.
This is
fake
so
news.
Bogus. Now, however, as I read the article, I was like, this seems pretty legit to me. And I will admit, not only does it seem legit, like my spidey senses were like, this is legit.
Yeah.
He, to his credit, even though he's a horrible hack of a journalist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I found him to be cautious, like mm-hmm. respectfully cautious. And ultimately, he stayed in that text. So, because he gets added to the text on March 13th. Then on March 14th, the next day, a policy debate begins in the chat. And now that was a really interesting aspect because Vance at the time was in Michigan. Remember, he was doing a whole thing in Michigan. So he chimes in and he's like the only voice of opposition in the chat. Now, you can take that one or two ways. You can take it as everybody feels free to talk and voice their opinions and talk things out, which I think is a good thing. However, also, J.D. Vance clearly had a very opposite view of what we should be doing from not just the group, but from the president himself. And mind you, I'm not surprised, but the president was not in the chat. Now, Susie Wiles is, so I would think that he's getting some information.
Which is why it is crazy that when he was asked yesterday, he said he didn't know what they were talking about.
I'm like, yeah, you did.
What's the signal? What's going on?
I don't believe
it. Carry on. Yes. Carry on.
So he goes, in response, they're talking about the plans to strike the Houthis in the area, specifically because of the shipping lines. Now, Vance goes, I think we're making a mistake. 3% of the U.S. trade runs through the Suez, right?
Suez, yes.
The Suez, 40% of European trade does. There is a real risk that the public doesn't understand this or why it's necessary. Now, he goes on and he talks about how I'm not sure that the president is aware how inconsistent this is with his message on Europe right now. Specifically, what he's talking about is that Trump is trying to create distance on the dependency that Europe has on the United States. And so Vance's opposition here in the chat is that he doesn't feel that we should be striking on the Houthis with the shipping line narrative because it helps Europe and it's more of a European issue and that maybe they should be taking care of it instead of us.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about that, but we're not going to do a whole.
We're not going to talk about that right now, but
we're not going to talk about that right now.
So, point taken.
Now, Stephen Miller at one point comes into the chat, assuming to be Stephen Miller. He comes in and he basically says, this is what the president wants. So the person who puts his foot down in the chat, it comes off that way.
But that's what's perfect about this and what even lends more credence to the fact that this it could be or is real is that each of the players inside the Signal chat sounded like those
very
players.
Very much that, so.
It was very on brand for Stephen Miller to come in and be like, nope, we're doing it. It's what the president wants.
Yeah.
Thank you. Goodbye. That's very much Stephen Miller. And the way Pete Hegseth spoke in it was very Pete Hegseth. So it definitely, as I'm reading, I'm going, like you, I'm reading it at the beginning going, oh, another hit job. So predictable.
And then
the
more
Atlantic.
You read it, you're like.
And then I'm reading it going, oh, dang, this happened. And then I get the barrage when I reported on it. On Instagram, I get the barrage of people. They're like, why are you doing this? Why are you buying into this crud? This is so typical for the Atlantic and the fake news. And this is propaganda and blah, 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 blah. First of all, you can make up your own mind on that. I'm just here to tell you what's going on. But second of all, read the article because I'm reading it going, yeah, I really think that this is accurate.
Well,
which, like you said, kind of makes me go, Jeffrey Goldberg, don't care for how you do business, but he did sit on this for
a sufficient amount of time.
Yeah, he let what was going to happen, and he, I don't know, there was some sort of journalistic
integrity.
I hate to say it.
I know it hurts. It's like this guy.
It really is painful.
But he did. I don't have to like him. I don't have to agree with him, but I give credit where credit I think is due. Now, after that whole policy discussion, Vance goes and finally says, after Stephen Miller also kind of put his foot down, he's like, if you think we should do it, let's go. I just hate bailing Europe out again.
Yeah.
That alone to me was like, that is definitely J.D. Vance, because I would say out of everybody in the administration, I wouldn't necessarily say that he is hardcore isolationist, but he is the most isolationist in the administration.
Yeah.
Now, initially, I should also mention that the way this chat started was that Waltz kind of gave everybody like an update like of the purpose of the chat. And so the message was, please provide the best staff POC, which is point of contact, from your team for us to coordinate with over the next couple of days and over the weekend? Thanks. So that was the initial question. And then everybody started chiming in. Oh, by the way, even the Treasury, Bessett was also in it. So everybody starts chiming in and providing their point of contact. So I'm assuming it's somebody within their agency that's going to work in conjunction with this. It can be like, that's who you communicate with if I'm not available.
Yeah.
Now, and one of the individuals, I believe one of the individuals with the CIA who Ratcliffe named, is not named in the report. And this is just another kind of example of Goldberg being responsible.
Yeah, because he said he didn't want to list him because he was an active agent.
Because he was an active agent.
Dang it, Jeffrey. Being responsible with your journalisming.
Now, then within, this is one of the sticking points of the discussion, is that at some point, Hegseth shares what Jeffrey Goldberg describes as war plans. Now, he doesn't say what it is. He does say it gives like locations, it gives times, it gives.
With such accuracy that he did say basically he was sitting in his car and he knew. He's like, if this signal chat is accurate and it's actually happening and I'm not being punked, which we could still talk about. This could, I mean, there's so many different ways this discussion could go. But if Jeffrey Goldberg is basically sitting there and saying, if this is for real, then this should be on the news within the next hour, that this airstrike or bombing or whatever you want to, however it's categorized, is happening. And then he's sitting there. He's like, oh, look, there it is on the news. So, yes, what they described as happening in the signal chat occurred.
I can't even fathom.
Neither can I.
A reporter.
Nope.
And you get looped in and you're just kind of sitting there in the background. And then my question is, if you, and let's say you added Jameson Greer, right? And it's a legit, like, that's who you meant to add.
Yes.
And then you have everybody in the chat, their point of contact. Why did nobody, or didn't Waltz or anybody go, hey, okay, Greer, so where's your point of contact?
Okay, so that's my whole point. There are so many weird oddities with this story, and I'm not sure which one to pick up on. Because with Signal, it has... Okay, so Signal has the option to designate the control to only one or some admins to add people, right?
Yeah.
So if Mike Waltz or someone in his office, I don't know how they do this, added this reporter, Goldberg, to the group chat, so all of the members would be notified that someone was added. So they all would know. So how is it that Goldberg was added and none of the members in this group chat
noticed,
realized that some random number is added, and and they just kept going. They kept talking about their plans and they noticed that this one person or number name, JG, is added, but never says anything.
It's very weird. And I'm pretty sure, because I've used Signal regularly, and like when someone accepts, it doesn't just give a notification of like JG accepted. It gives a notification of the name that you have in your account.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if I added you and then you accepted, it would say Rachel Reeves accepted and is in the chat.
Yeah.
Now, granted, not everybody's looking at their phone all day. That gets added in the sequence of messaging. Do you know what I mean? So if it gets pushed.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of ways that you can kind of miss it, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sure. And we're dealing with people who are
busy.
Yeah, they're busy. And they probably have 20 of these chats with high-level officials going on all the time. And before everybody starts harping on, well, we need to talk about that too, about whether this should be handled over a signal. But let's keep
that's
going
what we were going to, yeah. So the claim is, so Goldberg is sitting in his car waiting for essentially bombs to drop to confirm whether or not that this is real. The strikes happen, and he realizes that he is not being punked, because that was the other thing. Like, he thought somebody was trying to dupe him and embarrass him, especially because, let's just say, the relationship between the administration and the Atlantic isn't exactly
simpatico.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they don't exactly love each other. Now, so the bombs start to drop. Now, to his credit, he hovered around for a little bit, but he eventually removed himself from the chat.
Like, again, that should have been noticed by somebody. One of those people should have noticed when someone leaves the chat.
Because it notifies you.
This person has left the chat. Why didn't at least one person say to their staffer or say to another person in another Signal chat, like, hey, who was that? Why'd they leave?
Well, and that's the other thing. So when you're trying to claim that I don't know what was going on or whatever, or I'm unaware, it's like I said to you. Now, this is me speculating, okay? But I'm pretty sure that cabinet meeting, I'm not 100% sure it was on the public schedule.
It wasn't. I got the public schedule yesterday morning and it was not on there.
Because I looked up the public schedule yesterday morning too, and I was like, because I wanted to see what was going on. I was like, oh, it's a pretty boring day. Louisiana governor is coming. They're going to talk about something. Okay, it's probably going to be like a slow day. And then all of a sudden, there's this news about a cabinet meeting. And of course, the cabinet meeting produces like a lot of news. Well, the cabinet meeting is happening pretty much literally at the same time that this article is being published. And as a news tracker, I had on CNN and Fox News. And then also I'm checking my X feed. Fox News did not talk about it until like they went through the entire I think it was like the entire cabinet meeting, his press conference, and then eventually they brought it up during a regular segment.
But I think they wanted to see how big the media
story was going to get. Yeah.
And then once they started seeing that reporters were asking Trump at the press conference.
Mr. President, your reaction to the story in The Atlantic that said that some of your top cabinet officials and aides had been discussing very sensitive material through Signal and included an Atlantic reporter for that. What is your response to that?
I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of The Atlantic. To me, it's a magazine that's going out of business. I think it's not much of a magazine, but I know nothing about it. You're saying that they had what?
They were using Signal to coordinate on sensitive materials.
Having to do with what? What were they talking about?
With the Houthis.
The Houthis? You mean the attack on the Houthis? Right. Well, it couldn't have been very effective because the attack was very effective. I can tell you that. I don't know anything about it. You're telling me about it for the first time. Anybody else?
And then it started hitting X. They realized, oh, we're going to have to talk about this.
So they eventually, now CNN was talking about it off the bat. Another thing that is worth mentioning is that the article itself, as most reporters should, reached out for comment from the White House. And it says, Brian Hughes, the spokesman for the National Security Council, responded 2 hours later to his ask for comment, confirming the veracity of the Signal Group. Quote, this appears to be an authentic message chain, and we are reviewing how an inadvertent number was added to the chain, Hughes wrote. The thread is a demonstration of the deep and thoughtful policy coordination between senior officials. The ongoing success of the Houthi operation demonstrates that there were no threats to the troops or national security. He also reached out to the spokesperson for the vice president. And it says, despite the impression created by the text, the vice president is fully aligned with the president. Quote, the vice president's first priority is always making sure that the president's advisors are adequately briefing him on the substance of their internal deliberations, he said. Vice President Vance unequivocally supports his administration's foreign policy. The president and the vice president have had subsequent conversations about this matter and are in complete agreement. So I would say that's a little bit of damage control right there.
Well, yeah. So they know that something went wrong.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Or it went right, depending on who wanted what to happen. That's the whole question.
Well, and that's my point of the timing of this. It's like you didn't have a cabinet meeting on the books. Suddenly you get everybody busy at the same time at this cabinet meeting at basically the exact same time that you see the article is about to come out. You've already had the National Security Council spokesman and the spokesperson, whatever, for Vance. So if Vance knows, Susie Wiles is in the chat. Susie Wiles is in the chat.
Mike Waltz and Susie Wiles are married now.
Yes. Dun, da, da. You can't tell me. And then Trump is asked about it during the press conference. And he's like, what are you talking about? Who? Yeah. Oh, The Atlantic? That's a trash rag. I don't know anything about that later.
Yeah, I don't believe that at all.
I don't believe you.
I'm watching them ask Hegseth And do we want to talk about that? Was later. But they right away asked Mike Johnson, and I thought he gave a fine answer. He was just like, this was a mistake. And yeah. I've talked with the president.
Are you concerned about Trump officials transmitting classified war plans on unsecured channels?
Listen, the administration, as I understand, I just was with the president in the Oval Office just now. The administration is addressing what happened. Apparently, an inadvertent phone number made it onto that thread. They're going to track that down and make sure that it doesn't happen again. What you did see, though, I think, was top level officials doing their job, doing it well, and executing on a plan with precision. That mission was a success. No one was jeopardized because of it. We're grateful for that, but they will certainly, I'm sure, make sure that that doesn't happen.
But it's talking on Signal, not responsive.
I'm not going to characterize what happened. Clearly, I think the administration has acknowledged it was a mistake, and they'll tighten up and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Should
I don't know what else you can say about that.
Should Mike Walton have some discipline?
No.
They're going to attack it from so many. This is a perfect story for the left media.
Absolutely.
J.D. Vance isn't getting along with the president, and they're not agreeing. Also, what the heck? Why are there no checks in this administration that they're just like willy-nilly on the Signal app?
Well, okay, so that's the next thing that we need to discuss, because then there's it isn't just the fact of, yeah, we get to see, like, if I were to look at this chat thread and let's say it leaked and it was outside the realm of Goldberg was not added in.
Yeah.
It was, let's say, theoretically, it was on the up and up in the sense of you could do this type of conversation on Signal. I'm not saying you can, but I'm just saying let's do a thought exercise of it was. The chat itself is not bad. You know what I mean? It's not bad.
No, this is people just discussing something and disagreeing and then just coming to a conclusion.
Yeah.
The media is going to take any time that Vance has an original thought and disagrees
and turn
with the
it into Caesar's
they
division.
Hate each other. Yeah. No, that's called like being an adult and not agreeing with everything everybody else says. You can work with someone and disagree with them and then end the conversation and go on your merry way. That's just called being a critical thinker.
Now, the bigger issue is Signal is not an approved interface to be having these type of discussions.
Right.
And so there's a lot of the concern is security violations. So first of all, you know, Walz, who is a national security advisor, he started the chat. So you could put a lot of fault on him for even like beginning the chat in Signal. Because
shouldn't he know that?
Well, that's
you can't.
Hello. And most of these discussions are supposed to be happening in a SCIF.
Yes.
A SCIF where you can't even take phones into, which then brings in Hegseth, because Hegseth, now we don't know exactly what he shared. He had very strong words in regards to Jeffrey Goldberg. He didn't refute the claims per se. He refuted the
Jeffrey Goldberg,
he refuted
exactly what Trump did too. The first thing that they said out the gate was Jeffrey Goldberg is.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say is that Hegseth, what he's primarily refuting is the characterization that he shared war plans. So he's saying, like, he's discrediting Jeffrey Goldberg, but he's also saying that Jeffrey Goldberg is embellishing by claiming that I shared war plans.
One question.
Can you share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic? And were those details classified?
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is the guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. I would love to comment on the Houthi campaign because of the skill and courage of our troops. I've monitored it very closely from the beginning. And you see, we've been managing 4 years of deferred maintenance under the Trump administration. Our troops, our sailors were getting shot at as targets. Our ships couldn't sail through. And when they did shoot back, it was purely defensively or at shacks in Yemen. President Trump said, no more. We will reestablish deterrence. We will open freedom of navigation. And we will ultimately decimate the Houthis, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak from the beginning, overwhelmingly.
Why Why were those details shared on Signal, and how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used?
I've heard I was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that. Right, thank it. You.
I mean, we all saw them, though. They kind of were war planning a little bit.
But we don't, I mean, yes, I'm just saying that we don't know exactly because Goldberg right. did not share exactly what was.
Like all of it.
Yeah. And yeah. so we don't know exactly, like, you know, I'm not a national security person, so I don't know at what level is considered a war plan and yeah. what level is, I don't know, bullet points. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. But then also they have to, even if there was no actual quote unquote war plans, the fact that they're sharing it on an app where
absolutely
information disappears after a certain amount of time.
Well, and that's their issue.
Yeah. There's certain laws we have that if this is pertaining to, I believe it's any type of foreign interaction and it's a security risk, a national security risk, it has to be documented and saved.
Yeah.
So you can't be typing it on a, it's like them all getting together and taking a bunch of pictures and then like it disappearing.
The only way that you can get around this is, I don't know, if someone's assistant is screenshotting the chat and then archiving it, which yeah. I guess could
I'm
happen.
I'm pretty sure that's not happening though. They added Jeffrey Goldberg. They're not like really doing this by the book. It's a federal records law violation
yes.
is really, I think, what it's going to end up being.
Well, and
will
also
they follow through? Who knows?
You know, the concern is there's also national security lawyers are saying that this entire thing could possibly be a violation of the Espionage Act. So there are pretty dire, like, security
severe.
Violations
yeah.
that could come out of this.
It, to me, the point, well, the weird part for me, one of many, is that my husband works at a job where he pretty routinely has to go into SCIFs, and I won't hear from him for the whole day. He will leave his phone in the car. They can't bring anything in with them at all. And this is, he is dealing with information that, while important, does not touch the level of security that should be taken when discussing these kinds of matters. And the fact that they're just on a Signal chat being like, yep, sounds good, heart emoji, prayer hands for a, you know, safe execution.
Literally,
the
there was a fist bump, a flame, and an American
yeah,
flag after
that
the
to
strike.
Me, you know me with Elon's hat in the Oval Office, with the Ukrainian president not wearing a suit. Let's get professional, guys. Why are we talking about bombing the Houthis on Signal with emojis? Get in a skiff. And I know,
on the other hand, was telling Rachel that I really wish they had used a GIF after.
Like they had used some kind of like from The Office or
America.
Something.
America!
Yeah, with a flag in the rain. I can't. That's the part that got me. My husband goes into skiffs all the time. You can go into a skiff. And these people who, well, I don't know. People have been, administrations have been doing this type of thing for many decades, and they didn't need Signal. So why are we using that right now?
Well, see, and that was one of the things that, like, to me, I was thinking through this, and I was like, there's clearly a problem here. Because, mm-hmm. for example, one of the comparisons that a lot of people are making are, like, the Democrats are like, I never want to hear about Hillary's emails again. In my personal opinion, Hillary's emails and this are vastly different. Now, they're both violations, but mm-hmm. the motivations, the how they happened.
Well, and the potential fallout that could have happened had Goldberg handled this differently, in my opinion, this could have been of more consequence.
I mean, yes, but my point is that Hillary not only had, I don't know, what was it, like 30,000, you mm-hmm. know, so she had significantly more information. She purposefully tried to destroy the
yep.
information. She destroyed a BlackBerry to like conceal that she had the information. Do you understand what I'm saying? Versus,
oh, yeah.
like,
this the motivations one, are different. They are coming yeah. out, and actually, like, people like Speaker Johnson, the White House, they're saying, yep, this happened. It was a mistake.
And it was
acknowledging
just,
mistake.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think they're different. But what I am noticing is that now, since we've come into the modern age, quote unquote, this has been an increasing problem. And it's been an increasing problem because the approved government technology is notoriously reported to be unreliable and clunky. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, in order to facilitate quick communication, you've had officials be dependent on other technology because they need to get the information out quickly. And that was one of the issues. Look, I don't want to defend Hillary Clinton, but that's why she had a private email server, because she wanted to be able to have access to it. And I'm not defending her, but I'm just saying that's what was the issue. We've had that issue now through multiple administrations of different variations. So what I'm trying to say here is that clearly, as we move into the modern age, and it's specifically this administration and this presidency, who is working at freaking lightning speed across multiple countries.
You know, it's also perpetually online. Like, everything is being documented online. There needs to be some really careful, intentional instruction given
of how things should be done and what's appropriate.
You cannot plan a war on social media.
Or maybe,
I feel like we could start there.
We should advance. Now, the thing is that everything, like with the government, requires some kind of new laws, legislation, approvals or whatever. So I don't think you can't just be like, OK, yeah, let's make sure talk with Signal or talk with this company or whatever. And they create something that's more dependable and secure for us. That's not going to happen anytime soon. Also, this has been used as a weapon by both parties against each other. Now, through several presidencies. So I don't even know if they're going to want to fix it, as they could use it again for an opportunity to try and, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's cynical of me, but like an opportunity to go after the opposing party.
But that's why I'm saying, do you think I'm a dinosaur for thinking that they can just handle this in a meeting, in a room, in a skiff, like every other administration has had started?
I think that would be the ideal situation. However, I don't know. Obviously, I don't work in the administration, but I can say that I don't know if it's really feasible, because of the fact that we're no longer a country that kind of just stays on this hemisphere or stays on our land. Like, we're dealing with international global issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, Mike Waltz is in Greenland. So at the time, like, you had some in D.C., you had J.D. Vance was in Michigan, you had the strike was being, and then the other issues that this particular administration, which might be something that they have to adjust in their culture, is a very collaborative administration. So the question is, maybe did Treasury necessarily have to be in there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe
in later.
Not, how many was there in totality?
Oh, my gosh. It was a big chunk.
I'm assuming not all 18 of these
players
could be there, but maybe 5 to 8 of them could be. And then disseminate the information to the other parties that on a need to know basis in a different way.
Yes. Yes.
I just feel like it's not an impossibility to require these officials to be in a room together discussing things when it's such a fragile situation, which is what it is in the Middle East right now. And
yeah.
I don't think that's too much to expect. I know that they're moving so fast and trying to do 10 things at one time, but maybe that needs to be adjusted as well. And what we do love about this presidency and this administration is that it is collaborative, that they do have multiple cabinet meetings since the presidencies began. This is what we want. We want that kind of spirit of working together and discussion.
But it needs to be done responsibly.
But you cannot do it on Signal with emojis. I'm sorry. I love that for me and my daughter that we can talk like that, or that you and I can, but we're not the president of the United States.
Are you speech policing or text policing?
I am.
Like, people can...
Yes, I am. Because you want to know what? My tax dollars are paying for these people. So get off Signal, Marco,
I mean,
Rubio.
Signal is a
you.
Free platform.
Great. But I expect more from Marco. That's all I'm saying. Okay,
well,
so
Well,
did he say anything even in it?
That's my point. Some of them didn't really. They just gave their point of contact, but they didn't go into it. And that's why when you go in, as you point out, I can think of a handful of people that probably did not need to be in there. Treasury being one of them. I don't know. Like, I'm not an administrator. I'm not there. I don't know. But I just feel, as you said, there can be an A group and a B group. A group needs to be there for the discussion, for the situation, like the DOD, National Security, State Department. Like, those to me make sense.
Yes.
And maybe everybody else can just kind of be briefed on it later.
Correct.
So you don't have to have 15 people together all at the same time. It would have been probably not ideal, but preferable. Like, the initial chat where it's give your point of contact, and then from there you take it somewhere else and you're communicating with the point of contact.
I'm fine with that. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I will allow it.
Here's the big thing, okay? What's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Is now there's murmurings that it might be Waltz that Trump allegedly is thinking through the process. I don't think he's thinking about it. I think Trump wants to keep his people, and he's mm-hmm. hoping that the Trump news cycle will eventually eat this up and drown it out, and he can keep Mike Waltz. Because mm-hmm. overall, he's done a good, Mike Waltz has been a good,
I think that they'll fire a staffer and they'll say that it was an inadvertent add to the Signal chat and that staffer's going to get fired. Other people are saying that, can I give you one theory? Somebody wrote me, or not Absolutely. Wrote me, I saw this online. Says,
no, you cannot give any theories. Only my theories apply.
I have so many theories. This one was from Cynical Publius on Twitter.
Saw that and I don't agree with it, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. The minute I read the chat, my very first thought was that Goldberg was specifically and deliberately included so that he would leak what he saw to the public. The idea was to let Europe know just how unhappy American leadership is with Europe's unwillingness to pull its weight militarily. The back channel, seemingly accidental nature of that reveal was powerful and I believe intentional. Also, as someone who has read his fair share of top secret SCI war plans, this isn't it. So that's one person's idea of
we
a
have
potential...
seen that theory bubbling mm-hmm. online where people are like, this was on purpose. But again, this is which is not one of my favorite talking points that we tend to hear from presidents supporter, which I support the president.
Yeah.
But the whole 4D chess game or whatever, this administration is not shy about their opinions mm-hmm. with Europe and the relationship with Europe. This president doesn't have much of a filter. The vice president doesn't have much of a filter. It just sounds nicer when it comes out of his mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's not like they're needing to do this on the back channels.
No.
And all of a sudden reveal what they really feel. No, they'll just say it.
That gives the left any kind, to give them any semblance of ammo that could truly negatively affect the administration makes utterly no sense whatsoever.
All right. Well, then someone else, and I had thought this initially, because still, it is so bizarre to me that it was Jeffrey Goldberg.
And that is super weird. Punch yourself in the face 50 times. Please.
Yeah. Why is he on there? And why does Mike Waltz have his number? That's my first. I need clarification on that. So we're not going to get that, obviously. But several people.
Not unless it was an aide that's been leaking stuff. And
that's what I'm saying, is lots of people think this is a mole to discredit the administration. And specifically Pete Hegseth, because
and that's what's interesting, because even though Mike Waltz is the one that started the chat, it is mm-hmm. Hegseth that is getting the bulk of the ire from the media.
Well, the media hates him. Yeah, so and they've hated him from the beginning. That's why everybody thought it was going to be an uphill battle for, and it was
his confirmation.
But everybody thought it was going to be RFKJ, Tulsi, and Cash that were really in the no-fly zone. They were not going to make it. And then Pete Hegseth came along and was like, no, they really had it out for him. They think he is beyond unqualified. And this fits that narrative. So,
and almost every publication that I have seen has his picture front and center.
Yes. He's not the one that orchestrated the Signal chat.
I literally was just on Instagram this morning and I was scrolling and I have people that pops up on my feed periodically. And their headline was focused on Hegseth added Goldberg. And I was like, he's not the one that started the chat.
Right.
These details matter.
That fits the narrative so perfectly, which also then lends kind of credence to the mole conspiracy. Is there someone in Waltz's office that has it out for Hegseth and wants him out? I don't know. Or just has it out for the administration in general and wants to discredit the administration, make them look unprofessional, they're moving
something
too fast.
Something is up, because it's not – this administration so far has not been nearly as leaky as it was the first time around.
Yeah.
However, there have been recent leaks. And it's not – even most recently, I was collecting some stories for my newsletter, and there was one story that I had missed – and this is specifically talking, I'm trying to reference or make a comparison here of the leaks. We've already had leaks about arguments among quote unquote arguments between cabinet members, policy discussions, people not liking each other or whatever. So there was this article where it says, it was a Federalist initially is where I saw it, but who broke it was the New York Times. And it says intelligence assessment said to contradict Trump on Venezuelan gang. So the claim of the New York Times is that the FBI or someone within the FBI is leaking to the New York Times that the FBI isn't agreeing with Trump's assessment of these gangs and what they're doing to deport them. So again, it's another like leak of one of the agency, allegedly Kash Patel in this case, undermining the president. And that just seems to be a consistent narrative that keeps kind of bubbling up from in the news media is like that. Now, what's fascinating that then I go and I watch. Now, obviously, everybody has their partisanship or their bias. So you have to look through everything through that lens. Now, the New York Times is going to eat up any kind of report on division. I've mentioned multiple times the podcast, the All In podcast. And so recently, two guys from the All In podcast sat down with the Treasury Secretary Bessent and also Treasury of Commerce Lutnick, did long form interviews with both of them. By the way, I highly recommend that you watch them because they give a lot of discussion about the plans for the economy. But within those discussions, they were there for an extended period of time and they talk about what they saw with their own eyes of the culture at the White House and how everybody works together. And they, for the most part, said it's actually really cool because you see everybody communicating with each other. Everybody's seems to be getting along. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of collaboration. And it's working very much in the manner that you would expect high-level executives to work together.
Yeah.
So these are the combating narratives that we have. The idea is that they're wanting to create this division. So it doesn't matter what you do with this story. They're going to be using this as like just another example, not only of their incompetence, but also, oh, J.D. Vance is undermining the president. So that's why, again, it doesn't really make any sense to me that someone would purposefully, with a 4D chess move, quote unquote, add Goldberg. It makes more sense to me that maybe possibly, I don't even think if this was a legit mole, or this is like the one of the moles that's been leaking these stories. I don't even know if they necessarily did it on purpose. Because, I mean, my thought is, let's say if I were to tell my assistant to start a chat and then this happens, immediately I'd be like, how did this happen? Yeah. They would expose themselves as the mole is my point.
Right. Well, and that's why I'm saying someone has to get fired or Mike Waltz has to answer for this. Are you pals with Jeffrey Goldberg? Why would you add him? Why do you not double check the numbers that you put into a national security group chat? What is there an established friendship with him and Jeffrey? Do they know each other?
Many questions.
I have a lot of questions, and maybe we can spend a little time talking about this. This is why it's important for people who do what you and I do, but for Republican, conservative, however you want to label yourself, commentators who regularly expose inadequacies in Democrat administrations.
You got to call it out on your own side,
too. You can't just throw it aside like the Gulf of America narrative or the Gaza Strip, we're turning it into a piece of real estate narrative. This is more important than that. And I think that people who do what we do and spend a lot of time and spill a lot of ink writing about what's important in these administrations and keeping America safe, they need to be calling us out and saying, something's not right here. This is not okay. This is unprofessional and it's dangerous.
Well, I will say,
if it's not, explain to us what happened. Be clear to us why we shouldn't be concerned about this. But I'm afraid we're just going to not get answers, but we should. And people who routinely talk about the unprofessional nature of politics when it comes to Democrats absolutely should be all over the story. Where's the breakdown here? What happened?
And well, I don't know. Well, I will say that I don't think they'll make this mistake again. Not that's okay. Like you shouldn't have made it in the first place. I don't necessarily know I don't think the president's probably upset, but the president is also very, even though people don't agree, he's very forgiving. And yes. So I think what he's really hoping for is that something happens in the news cycle, like I said before, and that this kind of gets a little swept under the rug, ignored, or that they find a scapegoat being an aide or something like that, and that they give the aide over as the unfortunate sacrificial lamb. The fact is that currently the Republicans have the House and the Senate. So the likelihood, I don't know if there'll be any committee hearings on this sort of thing. I do know that today, Tulsi Gabbard, Kash Patel, and John Ratcliffe, I think, CIA, they are sitting down with the Senate Intel Committee, whose committee chair is Tom Cotton's on it, because this is how I know about it, because he mentioned that I will be asking about them about this today. It's supposed to be about worldwide threats. Cotton was giving some lip service that he's going to ask questions about how this happened. However, the issue is that it was Waltz that started the chat. So I don't know how much information Ratcliffe and Gabbard can necessarily give, besides the fact that they joined the chat and that they shouldn't have. They, like, somebody in that chat should have been, we shouldn't be having this discussion here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And nobody did that. And also, no. I feel like Trump has to do something, because this is the you're fired guy who's been talking a lot about the fact that the Biden administration never fired anyone.
Yeah. Well, and if him and Pete Hegseth are going to, when questioned, which both of them did, they highlighted how much they can't stand Goldberg. How he's an inept journalist. He's a liar. He peddles trash and garbage, which is, I think, verbatim what Pete Hegseth said.
It's pretty accurate, but you could have said it in a better
form. But if they're going to say that, then I assume then they're asking Mike Waltz and other people, like, how do you have contact with this guy? Why do you have contact with this guy? Just because you're a high level official in the White House doesn't mean you have to have, like, close access to a reporter, especially a reporter at the Atlantic. It's not like they're breaking.
No, I mean, I hate
news.
To say this but like the media in general is just not necessarily on the up and up. If this had been somebody at, I don't know, Breitbart or something like that, or I don't know if it would have seen the light of day.
Right. I wouldn't have even been as, like, concerned or curious if it was someone who worked at Fox or CNN.
Because you assume that's an accident.
Yeah, or exactly. If it's like the Associated Press or Axios, like, those are a little bit more on brand for what they're discussing. Jeffrey Goldberg, like, what? That's the question I have. Why was he on this chat? And who does he know? And who's going to have to answer for that? I want to understand that dynamic.
Time will tell. But let
I mean,
me tell
will it
you.
Though, or is something going to happen today and this is going to get memory hold just like everything else?
Well, I mean, yeah, time will tell if something comes of it. Time will tell if it gets memory hold. I will tell you that Jeffrey Goldberg is doing the circuit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is great for business.
Exactly. He's already done like an in-house interview where he did an interview with someone in The Atlantic. Last night, he was asked specifically to respond to Hegseth's comments.
Responsible here and not disclose the things that I read and saw. I will describe them to you. The specific time of a future attack, specific targets, including human targets, meant to be killed in that attack, weapon systems, Even weather reports, or, you know, that the government is it, I don't know why Hegseth was sharing it with everybody. I mean, the precise detail, and then a long section on sequencing. This is going to happen. Then that is going to happen. After that happens, this happens. Mm-hmm. Then that happens, and then we go and find out if it worked. I mean, you know, he can say that it wasn't a war plan, but it was a minute-by-minute accounting of what was about to happen. Organized.
I mean, he wasn't wrong in criticizing Hegseth, because I really found that Hegseth's response was
It was cagey and it was extremely defensive.
Yeah, and it was very...
It was crawling with just resentment and contempt for Goldberg, which I get. That's fine. But you can also answer it. I mean, even Trump was like, yeah, Atlantic's not a great publication. Yeah,
he was much more... He didn't like it, but he was a little bit more dismissive. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal, as opposed to Hegseth was like kind of
disdain
about it.
Yeah, he was ragey and he didn't... Like, he couldn't look the person in the eye he was answering. And he was... You could tell he felt guilty. He was like, dang it. Yeah, probably shouldn't have been talking about that stuff in a signal chat with emojis.
Well, and I'm sure that he has, which is unfortunate and not a good dynamic for maybe him to have any kind of like insecurity, because he's already been criticized and undermined from day one as being like a Fox News weekend host. So I wouldn't be surprised if he had this level of defensiveness. So I don't know. We will continue to keep our eye on the story. However, I would love to hear what you guys think. Like, we really, I really want to hear what you guys think.
Well, and
you're listening
to
this and you do not give your opinion, I'm watching you. I know.
Yes,
actually,
we will open up a chat on our Rivera and Reeves Substack for just paid subscribers. So it'll be a fun little bonus for those of you who support this work. Come on over today and you can just list all of your conspiracy theories there. You want to go on to the earmark segment? I mean, I could go on about this for days.
I know.
But
and if we did keep going, my guess would be she would be like, but I just do not understand why Jeffy Goldberg was. Why does Mike Walls have Goldberg's number?
Do you guys see my sticking point? You see what my real question
like,
is?
She's repeating
basically, I have repeated myself a lot. It's very gracious of you all to stick around. If I ever am allowed into the White House as the new media, now or the press secretary asks me to ask my question. This is my question. All right, let's move on to the earmark segment, where there is other things happening in the world. And we should probably bring those to your attention. So first of all, a U.S. delegation is visiting Greenland. I know that we both shared this in our stories on Instagram. But this week, Usha Vance, which is J.D. Vance's wife, and National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. So maybe she could ask Mike Waltz why he put Jeffrey Goldberg in the...
Do you think Jeffrey Goldberg's in Greenland with them?
Maybe. You never know. They're visiting Greenland, which is causing... I mean, it's a lot of scuttlebutt going on about that, especially with like recent conversations about adding Greenland.
Trump is in expansionist mode and he has his eye on Greenland as one of them.
So Greenland's prime minister, though, and I don't know how to say his name, which should surprise nobody. Mute B. Ejede?
Ejede?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys. He slammed the visit as, quote, highly aggressive, and connecting it to President Trump's past annexation ambitions. There's been local protests with people, signs and slogans like Greenland belongs to the Greenlandic people.
It's interesting that they chose Usha. So she's going
there.
She's
going with her son, right?
I think so, because they're going there for some dog sledding
event. The mushing, is that how you call it?
Yes, it is to mush, but I don't know like what the specifics are on the event. But like, she put out a statement that she's very excited to meet the people of Iceland and learn their culture and
Greenland.
Go to this event.
Greenland, not Iceland.
Exactly. But I just thought it was a very, talk about a contrast. Like you pick two people. You pick Usha Vance. I would categorize as like literally the nicest person, most neutral person to send.
She's quiet, calm, demure.
Yes.
Very. Hello.
And then you send Mike Waltz, who is the National Security Advisor, is basically, we're going to take this land, whether you like it or not.
I think it's intentional. So yes, that's happening. We'll see if there's protests and yada yada when it comes to that. Next up, Musk's claims on SBA loans, which I actually missed this
in the cabinet meeting when we were all talking about the article.
Yeah.
Because he was at the cabinet meeting again this time.
With a hat on, which is what everybody was talking about. He wore the red hat, the Trump was right about everything hat to the cabinet meeting.
Oh,
and that was basically the headline news for 2 hours instead of talking about, I don't know, actual news. But he stirred controversy by alleging that SBA loans were being misused by children's businesses. No official confirmation yet.
In other words, allegedly small business loans were given to children.
Like a one-year-old was given a small business loan.
Yeah, it's very, but so again, he's like kind of pointing out like mismanagement, waste, fraud, abuse. Yeah. We'll see.
Yep. Next up, and I've been sharing about this a lot on Instagram because I have a lot of homeschoolers that follow along with what we do here. There are new homeschooling laws coming down the pipe in a lot of states, but specifically in Illinois. Illinois passed a new law this month requiring annual notifications and basic curriculum reporting for homeschoolers. It sparked debate. There was a lot of parents, lots of homeschooling parents at the state capitol in Illinois. I know HSLDA sent their senior legal staff there. And
I think like the big sticking point is if you don't cooperate with the state, mm-hmm. like you can not just fine, but possible arrest. Am I mistaken with that?
Yeah. No, I need to see. So what they did too is they've switched around this law so many times. So what will happen is families will put in a public comment slip saying they disagree with it, but then they'll switch the, they'll tailor the law again. And so they'll be able to dismiss all of the negative
the comments. Yeah.
Yeah. And then start over again. And it's really frustrating to the parents who live there. And lots of people I'm hearing from are saying if this law takes effect, because right now it passed, I'm going to have to go back and look. I don't want to mess anything up. It's not at its final point yet, but if it passes and actually is written into law, there's plenty of people who are like, we're moving. We will not. We lived here specifically for the laws and the flexibility of homeschooling in the state. And you'll find the more homeschoolers you talk to, every homeschooler knows the laws in their state and has a level of comfortability with them, or is like, I don't like them, and we're looking to actively move to a place where there's more freedom surrounding homeschooling legislation.
Well, and I think that's going to be an increasing situation, yeah. just in general.
Absolutely.
Especially with any kind of blue state politics,
oh, yeah.
where they try to become more restrictive.
So we're paying attention to it, but that's going down next. As we talked about in our last episode, the Tesla attacks, the attacks on the dealerships and on private owners is still going on. A firebomb threat happened yesterday in Austin, Texas. So there were basically multiple bombs at a Tesla dealership.
But you're right. And I mean, they did not go off. There was no serious damage or anything like that. But this increasingly has become an issue. I mean, to the mm-hmm. point where Tesla has now released, because of the technology on Tesla and because of the batteries, the issue that when a Tesla catches fire like that, mm-hmm. and they're so incendiary because of the batteries specifically, that even a firefighter, like, you can't put it out.
Essentially, that's crazy.
It's nuts. And so the Tesla, I think I just read it or heard it this morning, is starting to put out advisory pamphlets to fire stations about
how to handle it,
on how to handle a fire with a Tesla, because this is becoming an increasing problem. And so one of the things is the biggest concern is that if a Tesla catches fire within a building or next to a building, like, you just cannot get it to go out. Like, you can't put it in. So you're basically going to lose the building.
Well, I'm just going to say what everybody is thinking is that someone's going to end up dying. Someone's going to get killed in these attacks. And is that what it's going to take for Democratic lawmakers? And
well, they're still not even really saying anything. And even Tim Walz the other day, he was like, we talked about how he was making that joke about the Tesla stock.
How it brings him joy.
Yeah. And then as soon as he got the memo that his pension was dependent on it, he did another speech somewhere else. I guess he's doing some kind of circuit, kind of like AOC
like
and Bernie are. Yeah. He was like, these people are so serious. They can't take a joke. And I'm like, bro, you were not joking. Please.
Can't take a joke. People, like, there's buildings that are being lit on fire.
People's and he has not condemned it at all.
Personal property is being destroyed.
Crockett's another one that she keeps, like, making just, I mean,
like I said, I really, good. I think that, is that what it's going to take? Because I feel like we're inching really close to that. It's very dangerous what's happening. So,
well, the DOJ is definitely, and I think the FBI too, these actions are being categorized or reaching the category of domestic terrorism, which attaches a whole lot more issues and power behind investigating them. So we'll see how that pans out. And
the last earmark is incoming tariffs.
Interesting, because allegedly April 2nd is supposed to be our Liberation Day. This is literally the talking point that I've heard come out from the administration, where they're going to start doing these reciprocal tariffs. Mm-hmm. However, the Wall Street Journal reported that they're now reconsidering it, or they might be curbing the entire like policy where it's not going to be across the board, and that some businesses or some categories are not either not going to receive tariffs or they're going to receive minimal tariffs. And apparently, potentially, because Trump has talked about 20% tariffs, 25%, like crazy tariff amount.
Well, but did you see the statement that the president put out last night?
Oh, no.
He's announcing the secondary tariffs on the country of Venezuela.
That I did, yes.
So but basically, China would be facing like 45% tariff increase if it keeps buying Venezuelan oil.
Yeah, well, and those type of things, like that specifically, it's almost like sanctions. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think most people are necessarily opposed to that sort of thing, because this is like our enemies. Now, China is a little bit more of a challenge because we do so much trade with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like the bigger concerns for most people have been these like the supposed tariffs with Canada and Mexico, because we're supposed to have a free trade agreement with them.
Yep.
And that has led to, even though the economy is showing signs of improvement, the tariffs are making people hesitant to dive in and continue business or invest more in their business because they don't know exactly what's going to happen with these tariffs. So it's not just the issue isn't just the tariffs, but it's also like this inconsistency or flip-floppiness with the tariffs, which makes it difficult for businesses to like plan for the future because they don't know exactly what's going to happen. So the Wall Street Journal is the one that's now reporting that there might be potentially, even if we do progress with tariffs, that it might be a 10% cap, and that there are some categories or some industries, I should say, that might not get tariffed. So I don't know. We will see. D-Day on the tariff is supposed to be April 2nd.
April 2nd. So I guess we'll find out.
So, or maybe he'll decide last minute like he does sometimes. Honestly, this is one of the things that I was like, I really do get what he's trying to do, especially with the economy. Like it's a three-leg project here of balancing things. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, like I do think that he can pull it off, but it is definitely a balancing act. And let me tell you that now that he has immigration under control, if he does not get the economy under control,
that's going to be bad news for the primaries.
Exactly. And this is really something that you need to get under control, especially when you have
like right now.
And now the good thing is that AOC and Bernie are running around separating the most progressive segment of the Democrats. Like they're battling it out amongst themselves. You have the Gavin people are trying to move to the center, and then AOC and Bernie that are trying to go further left. So who knows? But I wouldn't like, obviously Bernie's too old to run for president or to run for anything, but AOC is young and spry. Mm-hmm. And even though she's an idiot, she sounds like a smart one.
Yeah.
So,
and people really do like her.
Yeah. And they do like her. So he really needs to get this situation under control before we get to the primaries. And the issue is that our election season is so freaking long that you need to be concerned about the primaries right now.
Right now.
Yep. Get your crap together. Stop texting on Signal. Make a decision on these tariffs and let's get this thing moving along.
And if someone could just email me the answer to my question. Okay. That's...
How did Goldberg get on this text thread?
I mean, it's just, it's going to eat at me all day.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That is it for today's episode of Rivera and Rees. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If this is your first time here, congratulations. You have found your new favorite podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button, leave us a 5-star rating, and leave us a review. And if you've been here for a hot minute and you haven't done so, why not? Please do. Help us grow. We love you for it. Of course, we love you either way, but we would love you more. Right?
A lot more.
A lot more. So much more. Okay. Now, if you want to get in on the community, if you want to join today's chat, please consider becoming a paying supporter by clicking the link in the show notes. And with that, you get bonus episodes, you get ad-free episodes, and you get a little bit of community. We actually have some pretty good chats periodically in there. And we see you regulars who join the chats. We love you.
We love it.
Okay. So that is it. That is all we have for today. Did I miss anything? Did we find out how Goldberg was added to the chat?
If you have any inside information, dear listener, please contact me immediately.
All right, that's it. We're gone. Thank you so much. And here's a reminder that the media is trash and we have no tolerance for it. All right, bye.
Bye.